can take your Bibles now and turn, if you like, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm only going to be reading a short phrase from there. But you can turn there if you like. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read the second half of verse 10. Second half of verse 10. During the summer, we're going through some of the one and others of Scripture, the one another commands of the Bible. Last week, we looked at what it means to encourage one another, to be a support to one another. And this week, we're going to look at the command to encourage one another. All right. No, sorry. That's not it. To honor one another. Last week was encourage. Okay. To honor one another. So I'll be reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 11, the second half. It says this. And remember, this is God's word. Honor one another above yourselves. Or another way to translate it is outdo one another in showing honor. That's the word of God. On a normal night in New York City, you can see the Empire State Building lit up. It's an American icon. It's one of the world's most recognized buildings. And it's often lit up with normal white lights. But from time to time, those white lights are changed to various colored lights for special occasions to commemorate or honor someone or some group of people or some event or something. And I don't know who calls the shots on when the building is lit up for these honorable occasions or who decides what occasion is honorable enough to change the lights on the building. But it's interesting to reflect on what this building considers to be honorable or something worth commemorating. In honor of Independence Day and Memorial Day, the building is lit up in red and white and blue. And it's lit up red and white in honor of fallen heroes. It's lit up green in honor of St. Patrick's Day. It's lit up to commemorate the subway series between the Mets and the Yankees. These are the things that they've considered to be worthy of honor. But there's also been some controversial things that the building has honored. The building was lit up in lavender to commemorate Gay Pride Week in honor of the homosexual lifestyle. It was lit up yellow and red to commemorate the communist takeover in China 60 years earlier, which is still an oppressive government. It's lit up green to commemorate Ramadan. The building seeks to give honor to what it considers to be worthy of honor. Well, whether we like it or not, every human being on earth is lit up like the Empire State Building. Everyone's life is lit up in honor of someone or something. It's lit up in honor of what that person considers to be worthy of honor. And so through a simple conversation or a simple glance at how someone spends their time or lives their life, you can find out the person's values. You can find out what this person really seeks to honor, what they consider honorable. Everyone lives their lives consistent with what they consider to be worthy of honor. And most of the time in consistent with our sinful nature, we often spend our days seeking to honor ourselves, to seek our own glory, to consider ourselves, to satisfy ourselves, to look out for ourselves. Our lives are lit up in honor of ourselves. Well, as Christians, our lives are not to be lit up in honor of ourselves, but they are to be lit up, honoring what God says is worthy of honor. Our lives are to be lit up honoring what God says is worthy of honor. And here in Romans 12, it says that we are to honor one another. God says that we are worthy of honor. The other person is worthy of honoring. We are to outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in lighting up our lives in honor of the person next to us. In honor to God. In the way that we speak, in the way that we interact, in the way that we spend our time, we are to honor one another. So I ask you, how is your life lit up? Do you honor yourself? Do you put yourself first? Do you satisfy yourself? Do you seek your own glory? Or do you seek to honor one another? Do you seek to light up your life, outdoing one another and showing honor? As a community of God's people, we are to honor one another. So what does it mean to honor someone? Well, in the Old Testament, the word for honor is essentially the same word for glory. They have the same root word, the same root meaning, and depending on the context, honor or glory could be used to translate this Hebrew word. So, to honor God is essentially the same as to bring glory to God or to glorify God. Another interesting piece that gives us a sense of this word is that this same Hebrew word is sometimes translated as heavy. Glory and honor is somehow closely connected to the idea of heaviness, the concept of heaviness. The Hebrew scholar William Van Gemeren said that this connection between honor and heaviness likely comes from the understanding that honor was often given to those who were rich. Honor was often given to those who were heavy with possessions. If you were a rich person, you were honored and respected oftentimes at the city gate. And so honor and wealth or heaviness of possessions went together. Or maybe you can think about it this way. In the military, if a soldier goes above the call of duty, he might be awarded, given an award for his service. A military honors their soldiers, or we as a country honor our soldiers in this way. Now, the more you're honored, the more medals you get, and the heavier your uniform becomes. According to the Guinness Book of World Record, the most highly decorated American soldier is a man named Matt Urban. He was awarded 15 different medals over his years of service, including the Medal of Honor. And soldiers don't normally wear their medals on their uniform necessarily, but if this man did, he would add 10, 15 pounds to his uniform. Well, this is the sense of this Hebrew word. It's the weight of glory, the weight of honor. So that's what honor means. But what does it mean to honor someone? What does it mean to, as a verb, to honor someone? Well, to honor someone simply means that in some way you recognize their greatness. It means that in some way you recognize their greatness. And we are commanded to outdo one another in showing honor, recognizing how great the other person is. We are to honor one another. Our lives are to be lit up recognizing the greatness of others. Now, in order to honor one another in the right way, there is a foundational truth that we have to understand. And without this foundational truth, we cannot truly, genuinely honor one another. And that foundational truth is this. We are to live our lives ultimately in honor of God. Before we talk about what it means to honor one another, we have to understand what it means to honor God. Throughout life, we can go through different phases of trying to figure out what it means, or trying to figure out what our purpose is in life. You go through these phases, whether you're graduating from college, or you're trying to find a new career path, or you're moving towards retirement. We often ask, what is God calling me to do? Well, I can, with complete confidence, with the confidence of the Word of God, tell you what your purpose is here on earth. No matter what phase in life you are, whether you're a young kid or you're well into your retirement years, your purpose is to honor and glorify God. You are to speak and reflect and shine, reflecting the glory of God. That's what our lives are about. That's our purpose here on earth. The first question of the Westminster Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? Or what is man's primary purpose? Man's primary purpose is to glorify God, to honor Him, to enjoy Him forever. Before we can appropriately light up in honor of one another, we have to be lit up in honor to God. We are to show the greatness of God to the world around us in the way that we speak, in the way that we live. In the broad Christian community, this important concept seems to be eroding away in many ways. I read an article this past week written by a pastor who was reflecting on how this foundational piece of the Christian life is crumbling. He was watching a Christmas special on TV. It was this spectacular, wildly entertaining Christmas program with choirs and effects and all sorts of bells and whistles. And right before the grand finale, there was a speaker who came up and he said that the theme of the night is this. He, meaning God, He did it all for you. He did it all for you. Through this short message, the speaker made it sound like God revolves around you. He did it all for you. The writer of this article said that if this speaker were to write the shorter catechism, that first question of the shorter catechism, he wouldn't have said, what is the chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. He would have written, what is the chief end of God, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. It's all about you. All too easily, we as Christians can begin to think that it is all about me. That God exists to serve and honor and glorify me and take care of me and do what I tell Him to do, rather than God creating me to bring glory to Him. And so when we snap our fingers and God doesn't come, or God doesn't give us what we want, or He brings disaster, or He brings hard times into our lives, we shake our fists at Him because He's not doing what He's supposed to do. Answer our every beck and call. Doesn't God exist to serve me? Well, it's absolutely vital for us to understand that we are not at the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around us, but God is at the center of all things. The world revolves around Him. God's primary purpose is not to glorify you. His primary purpose is to glorify Himself. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for Himself. Psalm 135, the Lord does whatever pleases Him in heaven and on earth and in the seas. Romans 11, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the people of God had become very wicked. They were honoring themselves, not God. They were involved in pagan practices. And so God punished them and He brought the Babylonians in to conquer them. And God scattered His people. The Babylonians took the people of God out of that land and scattered them all over the known world as exiles. They were forbidden to come back to rebuild Jerusalem. And after He'd punished them in this way, He spoke to them and He said, listen up. These are the words of God. Listen up. I am going to save you, but know that it's not for your sake that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. I will show the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord. I will rescue you and gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you. And move you to follow my commands, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. But know this, I am not doing this for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name, so that everyone will know that I am the Lord. This is a vastly different message than what we often get from the Christian world. He did it all for you. If God has saved you through Jesus Christ, if He has given you a new heart, if He has cleansed you, washing away your sins, He did this because He loved you with an undying love. Yes. Jesus died for you because He loved you with a love so deep that you will never be able to plumb the depths of it. Yes. But that's secondary. The primary reason why God saved you is so that in the end, everyone in the world, everyone throughout history will know that the Lord is God and that Jesus Christ is King and that He relentlessly loves His people. God is carrying out this magnificent plan of salvation so that His name will be honored and glorified by all. Everything that God does is in honor of Himself because He is God. God's life is lit up to honor Himself. And our lives are to be lit up in honor of our great God. What is your purpose in life? Your purpose is to honor God. Your purpose is to live your life lit up in honor of the greatness of God. Now, how do we do this? How do we honor God? How do we light up our lives to the point where everyone can see the greatness of God? Well, I want to point out two ways that we reflect the honor and glory of God. The way that we speak and the way that we live. We honor God in the way that we speak. If we are genuinely amazed by God and are genuinely amazed at what He's done for us through Jesus Christ, if we genuinely are amazed by His love, then it will be reflected in the way that we talk. I love amazing statistics and trivia and stories and things like that. And because I think they're amazing, I often share some of my amazing statistics with people. Comes up in conversation, and I'd like to tell you some right now, but that would distract you because you'd be so amazed by them. I know Alyssa's heard many my top three or four amazing stories or statistics many, many times, and many of you have heard them many times. But I also know that not everyone is amazed about these statistics, and they're not as eager to speak about them. I don't know why they're not, but that's okay. I don't understand why you're not amazed, but all of us ought to be amazed at the greatness of God. God's goodness and His love and His salvation and His care is absolutely, utterly amazing, breathtaking. He loved wretched sinners. We were enemies with Him, and yet He loved us. He loved us despite the many times we continue to mess up. He still loves us, and He will love us on into eternity. What an amazing God we have. Do you believe that? You don't deserve any of His care and His love, and He loved you, and He loved me. If you are amazed by God's love and His salvation, then it's going to be reflected in the way that you speak. It's going to come up in conversation. You're amazed by it. If God is central to your life, then it will reflect in the way that you speak. So be amazed at the greatness of God. And it will be reflected in the way that you speak. So we honor God in the way that we speak, but we also honor God in the way that we live. We genuinely believe that the Lord is God. If we genuinely believe that, then we will seek to live in obedience to Him. If He is God, He deserves our full obedience. We'll seek to do everything that He commands us. When you go to a store and you want to use a coupon, you give it to the clerk, and the clerk checks it, makes sure that it's valid and everything, checks out the date. And if everything checks out, it says that he honors that coupon. What's that mean? It means that he does what it says. That means that he does what the coupon says. So if it's 35 cents off of ice cream, he takes 35 cents off of ice cream. He honors that coupon. In the same way, when we honor God, we simply do what He says. It's that simple. When your life is lived in obedience to God, you're saying to the world, I serve someone greater than anyone on this earth. By obeying God, you speak about His greatness. When the disciples were beaten and imprisoned, when they spoke about Jesus, they were commanded not to speak about Him again with the threat of imprisonment and beatings. And they said, we must obey God and not men. So they continued. Their lives were lit up in honor of the greatness of God. Or when your friends are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and they want you to come along and be involved with them, walk away. By obeying God, you are honoring Him. You're saying that God is God. God is the one in charge. You honor Him. You point to God's greatness by refusing to work on the Lord's day. Except on what is necessary, you seek to honor God. You honor God that way. When you decline to go somewhere instead of going to worship, our greatest privilege, you honor God. You say, no, God is my priority. He is my he is the greatest one. He's the greatest God, the greatest one in my life. He's the one I serve, I follow. By loving your neighbor, you honor God. When you work diligently, not cheating your boss, not wasting your time, but working for the Lord, you show that you are serving the God of heaven. When you're tempted to sin in your marriage or in your relationships, you say, no, I must obey God. You're showing God's greatness by the way that you live, recognizing that He rules your life. Is your life lit up in honor to God, to the God who saved you? Do you speak that way? Do you live that way? Or do you just follow Him when it's convenient? Serve yourself the rest of the time. God is at the center of your life. Whatever you do, whether words or deed, do it all for the glory of God. Light up your life to reflect the greatness of God. Now, I've spent maybe too much time, a lot of time, thinking about what it means to honor God. And we haven't even gotten to what it means to honor one another. We cannot honor, I've done that because we cannot honor one another unless we really understand what it means to honor God. If our lives are not wrapped up with honoring God first, we cannot honor one another. So with that in place, now let's figure out what it means to honor one another. In order to honor God, we are to honor one another because that's what God tells us to do. And now remember that definition of what it means to honor someone. It simply means to recognize in some way their greatness. To honor someone simply means that you recognize how great they are. Let's say there's a person here that you want to honor. Let's say it's the person next to you that you want to honor. Well, in order to honor them, you have to understand what is so great about them. You have to recognize their greatness. You have to know what their greatness is before you can recognize it. So what makes them great? What makes the person next to you great? Is it the things that they've accomplished on earth? Is it the way that they look? Do their abilities make them great? What makes them great? Well, the primary reason why the person next to you is great is because he or she is a bearer of God's image. Our great and magnificent God created all of us in His glorious image. Think about it. All of us, everyone here, has an eternal spirit. Your spirit will never die. He created us with knowledge and language and reason. He created us with a sense of right and wrong. We are created to be like God. In Psalm 8, the writer reflected on the enormity of the universe. And then he said, God, why do you care about mankind? Yet you created him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over everything, over the earth and everything in it. We are the crown of God's creation because we are created in his image. You can honor the person next to you. You can acknowledge their greatness simply because they were made in the image of our great God. It doesn't matter what they've accomplished, what they look like, what they smell like. Even if he's an unbeliever, if the person is an unbeliever next to you, they're still made in the image of God. That is greatness. And we are to recognize that. You can honor the person next to you. Think, how can you honor the person next to you? How can you recognize their greatness? We can simply start off by acknowledging their existence. Speak to them. Get to know them. One of the simplest but most powerful ways to honor someone is simply getting to know them and speaking to them. A number of years ago, I went to a small seminar on how to work with homeless people or poor people, beggars. People who stand on the street corners asking for handouts. And they said that the best thing you can do for them is not necessarily to give them money, but the best thing that you can do them is to treat them like a human being. To not dodge their glances. To acknowledge their presence, to speak them to them as a person, to look them in the eye, to ask them their name, acknowledge that they are a person created in the image of the great God. Honor one another. Let your actions show that you consider those around you to be great. Let your life light up in honor of the person next to you. So that's the first thing that makes us great, makes a person great. They're created in the image of God and they deserve to be honored as such. The second thing that makes a person great is their relationship with God. There's a stark difference between someone who trusts in Christ and someone who doesn't. There's a huge difference between a believer and an unbeliever. It's the difference between black and white, light and darkness. Everyone in the world is either a child of Satan and will eternally be condemned, or everyone is a child of God through Jesus Christ and will be eternally brought into the presence of God. And as God's people, God calls us by many names that speak about our greatness. If you trust in Christ, then you are God's child, adopted through Christ. You are a saint because through Christ your sins are washed away and God sees you in perfect holiness. You are the bride of Christ, the eternal companion of the Savior. You are the chosen ones, the ones that God has chosen to love. And he also calls us kings and queens along with Christ. In Ephesians 2, it says, because of his great love, God has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. That means that right now, at this very moment, if you trust in Christ, then in a very real way, you rule with Christ. You sit right now on the throne with Christ, reigning over the world. That's a seat of honor. God has given great honor to his people. He's honored us by saving us from our sins and making us kings and queens over this creation. If the person next to you is a believer, you are to honor him even more. Recognize even more his greatness. Recognize that you're sitting in the presence of royalty. You speak to them with honor and respect. You seek to find ways to serve them. You recognize their greatness. So how can you recognize the greatness of the king or the queen sitting next to you? So we're called to honor one another because all people are made in the image of God. We're also called to honor one another, fellow believers, because in Christ we are kings and queens of this world along with Christ, and we will reign with Christ forever. Now there's a third aspect of greatness that recognizes either what people have done or what position they hold. We are to honor people who have done great things and who serve in certain positions. Children are called to honor their parents. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. So children, honor your father and mother. You listen to them, you obey them. You are to honor your parents, not because of how great they are, but because of the position that they hold. You honor them by obeying them, by listening to them, serving them. This is a recognition of their greatness and their position. We are also called to honor governing authorities. In 1 Peter, we are told to honor the king. So whether we like them or not, whether we think they're doing a good job or not, we are to honor those who are in authority over us, the president, the governor, the city council, the senators, and we are to obey them. Unless, of course, they tell us to do what is contrary to the word of God. So we are to honor them because of their position. That doesn't mean let them get away with whatever, but we are to honor them. And then we're also to honor elders. In 1 Timothy, it says, elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor. We are to honor our elders who are in authority over us, not because of how great they are, but because of the position that they hold. We need you to honor us and support us and respect us. That doesn't mean you blindly follow us and do whatever we say, but honor us. Challenge us if we need challenged, but honor us. We're also to give honor to those who serve God in a special way. Epaphroditus was a man who helped Paul along the way in the work of the gospel. And when Paul sent Epaphroditus back home, he said to the people in his home church there, he said, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to help me. We're to honor people who do great things for Christ. We had the McCulloughs here a few months ago to speak about their work in Yemen. They've been there for 13, 14 years, serving, giving their lives for Christ in this closed, hard country. We're to welcome them with great joy and honor people like this because of their great work for Christ. So in order to properly honor the person next to you, you have to find out. Search out what they're doing in honor for Christ, in the name of Christ, and honor them for it. Thank them for it. We're to honor all people because we're all created in the image of God. We are to honor one another, fellow believers, because we are kings and queens of this world, and we are to honor those who have done great things for Christ, and who serve in a special capacity. Honor one another. This is God's command for us. Just as the Empire State Building seeks to give honor to people or events or nations by the way it's lit up at night, our lives are lit up in honor of something or someone. By ourselves, we would be left to honor ourselves. We want people to recognize our greatness. But as God's people, we are commanded to honor God. We are to show the world God's greatness. And one of the primary ways that we show God's greatness is by honoring one another. We honor all people. We honor fellow believers. We honor those who've done great things. We speak of their greatness. We in some way recognize their greatness. Is your life lit up in honor of one another? C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, he wrote that there are no ordinary people in this world. You have never talked to a mere mortal. You have never talked to a mere mortal. We are all immortal. And we all reflect the glory of God. Now, make it your business. Make it your business to recognize the greatness of those around you. Make your business to light up your life in honor of those around you. Outdo one another in showing honor. And as you do this, you will light up in honor of our great God. Outdo one another in showing honor. And may God be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your greatness. And we thank you that you have made us great as well. Be with us as your people to reflect your glory into this world by honoring one another. Help us to make it our business to recognize in some way the greatness of the person sitting next to us, or the person in our neighborhood, or the person in our class, or the person at work. Let us light up in honor of those around us, not seeking our own glory, but seeking the glory of those around us. And we ask ultimately that as we do this, your name would be lifted up and that all nations would see that you are the great God, the creator of the earth and the redeemer of your people. For your name's sake, do these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.